Welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Mishle Perek Yudbei, the 12th chapter of the book of Mishle. This is 28 psukim long, and it seems to be a lot of different ideas connected together through some shared word and ideas. Like we've been seeing in the second section of Mishle from Perek Yud onwards, we've been seeing that there's less of a theme for the Perek, and it is more really a connected ideas or couplets or triplets of psukim which fit together around one idea. So let's just look at a brief survey of some of those ideas as we move through. The first three psukim focus around the idea of resha, of evil, and the idea of attaching oneself to the mitzvah Hashem and the Torah, and the longevity that is generated through that connection. Then there is a single pasuk dalet, which focuses on the relationship of one to one spouse. And then we move into the ideas in psukim hey to Zion, of where the common word is Rasha'im, and this idea of thought and speech, and how the tzaddik has the staying power, but the Rasha will disappear. So the power of speech and the power that tzaddikim have over Rasha'im. We then move into the next few psukim, which is psukim Ches to Yud Aleph, where it's talking about self-worth and the value of hard work, the value of finding that self-worth. We move into psukim Yud Beis to Yud Dalet, where some of the common words are tzaddikim and Sifosayim, the lips, the P, ish, the mouth of a man, and this is focusing again on the power of speech. We see psukim tezvov to tezayin focusing on an individual's name is Evil. Evil seems to be a person who's an impetuous person, a person who can't really control what's going to happen. They get angry, they show it to everybody, and therefore they ultimately are subservient to the wise person who's able to control their own emotions. Yud Zayin to Chof, that next little section, seems to be focusing on the idea of Sheker, Lashon, and Mirma. Those are the common words. And the idea is about the speech and deceit and how terrible deceit is. And finally, the last section really is a conglomeration from Chof Aleph to Chof Ches, 21 to 28, is a group of ideas with, again, the focus on Hashem's disgust with deceit. So if one were to boil down this perek and have to summarize it in one sentence, although the sentence would not encompass everything, it would be the terrible power of speech and the dangers that can bring about in regard to the ideas of deceit. That seems to be the general idea. As has been the case in the previous two parakim as well, we see that almost every sentence is a balance. Every sentence is describing, on the one hand, what a Rasha does, and on the other hand, what a Tzaddik does, or their contemporaries, whether it be a Yashar or a Nevil on either side. There is the contrast of the different types of lives led by these people. There are, of course, fractals of different themes which have appeared in previous Mizmorim, like alacrity, indulgence, guarding one's tongue, hating falsehood, immorality, and the life of immortality, which is led by the Tzaddikim. But these are here and there as we go through. We're going to focus on three famous psukim, or psukim which are worth noting right now, and of course, it is worthwhile understanding that every pasuk needs to be unpacked, and so unlike many of the other sforim we've learned together in Nach up till now, it's not just enough to be able to sort of see the general view. We really need to unpack each pasuk specifically as a reminder that we do not have the ability to be able to just understand it on its face value. As you know, that according to many of the Mefarshim, the reason why this book is called Mishle is because every pasuk has a nimshal. Every pasuk has a meaning which needs to be unpacked in it, and if we're not to do that, we are the ones who are losing out. Let's try to understand. Let's look at pasuk Dalet for a moment. The pasuk reads, Eish Yisrael Ateres Ba'ala, a wife of valor, a capable wife is a crown for her husband, Ukarakov Ba'atzamois Mivisho, but an incompetent one is like rot to his bones. What is this referring to? How do we understand this? The Rabbag points out, on the most basic level, it describes the importance of a spouse in one's life. And this can really go both ways, and that is happy wife, happy life, or vice versa, it doesn't rhyme, happy husband, happy life. But the idea is that when a person has a professional life, a person has a personal life, and at home things are not good, that's going to pour over into everything else. So a person could be the greatest achiever, but if their spouse is somebody who does not support them, it's going to seep into everything they do, and vice versa. A person may not be necessarily successful in the outside world, but should they have a strong foundation, strong relationship at home, that can help a person carry the person through anything. That's on the most basic level, but of course there is a nimshal which is supposed to be unpacked over here, and he understands, the Ralbag, Rav Levi Ben Gershon, explains that what is referred to over here is the idea of what he calls, this is a parable for hamuchashos, experiential wisdom and intellectual wisdom. that intellectual wisdom is described and is used to describe the husband, and the wife is used to describe experiential wisdom. And should a person only rely on their intellectual wisdom, they are doomed. A person needs to couple that with experiential wisdom, with the goings and the comings of real life to really understand. So this is not talking about people, relationships. It's talking about two different dimensions of a person's intellect. Let's move on to another pasuk right now. Pasuk Yud is a very famous pasuk. Yodea tzadik nefesh bem toiv v'rachmei rishoim achzari. That the way it is translated is that a tzadik, a righteous person, knows the needs of his beast, but the compassion of the wicked is cruelty. Rachmei rishoim achzari. Very powerful pasuk. It's quoted all over the Gemara in many different contexts. The Vilna Gaon explains that on a basic level, it's referring to how a person feeds one's animal. So a lot of times people have the inclination, they want to give a lot of food, they want to make, you know, Rover feel very happy today, but it's not so good for Rover to have too much food. It really isn't. It's not a healthy balance. It's ultimately that kindness is cruelty. And therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, a person needs to have a balanced schedule of feeding. Not everything goes down the gullet, and that is the way that one treats one's pet. However, the nimshal is this is referring to the nefesh habahamis, which means to say the animalistic side of self. Yes, many times you'll see this quoted in Hasidic sources. This was not coined by Hasidus per se, Kabbalistic term. The nefesh habahamis refers to the animalistic side of the person, and they understand that overindulgence, in fact, to the body is cruelty. A person who's a tzaddik understands that one cannot just indulge one's body. If one feels like something, it's not a reason to have something necessarily. In fact, there's a very powerful Ramban which was found towards the end of the Torah, and he's commenting on the pasuk at the beginning in Netzavim where it says, "Leman sefois harava es hatzameah." And the pasuk is putting together Rava and Tzmeah. Rava is a person who is satiated, and Tzmeah is a person who is thirsty. And the Ramban says that a person needs to understand the way the body works. And that is that if it is Tzmeah, if it is, in fact, somewhat needing, it is somewhat thirsty, it, in fact, can feel indulged, it can feel full. But if you give it too much, it'll never feel indulged, it'll never feel like it had enough, because it will always want more. The Ramban makes a very painful comment to read, and he says that when societies as a whole will become overindulgent, when they will, it'll be a free society and all types of pleasure are made available for that society, then the society will start looking for more corrupted forms of pleasure because the natural forms of pleasure have been exhausted. And that's how he understands Leman Safoy Sarava Es Hatzmeah, putting the two together. And what this pasuk is saying, as the Vilna Gaon understands it, is that Yodea Tzadik Nefesh Behemtoy, a tzadik, a righteous person, understands how, in fact, their nefesh, how, in fact, their own Nefesh HaBahamis operates, and they will know when and when it is not appropriate to feed it. The last pasuk we're going to focus on in this perek is pasuk Chof Hei, very powerful pasuk. It reads as follows: Da'aga belev ish yash chena, ve'davar tov yesam chena. If there's anxiety in the heart of a man, let him yash chena. We'll see in a second what that means. And if he has joy in his heart, turn it into a good word. What does this mean? The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Hei Amud Aleph, says the following. There are two opinions as to how to understand the word yash chena. Rav Ami and Rav Asi have a machlokes. One said the word yash chena means to say is yesichena midatai, is remove it from their mind, take it out of their mind, quash it. The other explanation is that no, yesichena, a person should discuss it, should talk about it to other people. I remember I was once had the opportunity of hearing from Dr. Pelkovitz. And Dr. David Pelkovitz mentioned that people innately have different ways of processing da'aga, of processing worry and anxiety. Some people need to bury it away for them to deal with it. That's their way of dealing with it. Other people need to talk about it all the time, and that's their way of processing. And what could be difficult is when you have two people who are in a relationship with each other and they have different modalities of dealing with worry. He described a story where they were a young couple who had just married. They came to the office because they were looking for a divorce after just a few months of marriage. And he tried to get to the bottom of it, to the root of it, and he found that, in fact, what had happened was that the young man was working very close to the World Trade Center. And he had managed, very luckily, on 9/11, not to be in his office at the right time, through good fortune, through Hashgacha Pratis, and he literally walked back from the shadow of death to his house. And his wife was in the meantime watching this all on TV, knew what was happening in either way, that her husband was working in the World Trade Center at the time, was frantic. And when he walked into the front door, it was so shocking to her. All she wanted to do was, she wanted to talk about it, but he was so shocked by the experience, all he wanted to do was not talk about it. And this became a very painful issue, which brought up other issues that all he wanted to do was be quiet about it, because that was his way of yesichenu midatai. Whereas her way of dealing with it was yesichenu la'acherim. Because they couldn't see the common ground, she felt he was depriving her, he felt she was bothering him, and this led to this terrible conundrum where the stress and the anxiety and the different ways of dealing with it led to this crisis. But it's important to understand that perhaps different people have different ways of expressing and dealing with that anxiety. Once again, just another nugget of these psukim and a starting point for further reference and for the discussion of this very powerful parak. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.